has received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1:12. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your care and not for calamity, to give you a future with hope. Jeremiah 29:11. And 1 Samuel 16:7. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verse 12. Genesis chapter 15, verse 12. Over the weeks, we've been traveling with Abram. We've had some ups and downs, haven't we, along the way? Last Wednesday night, we bogged around in a tremendous amount of blood. So many of you folks missed it. If you missed it, I trust that you'll pick it up on the internet, because I don't want to bog around in blood all morning today, even though I will refer to it as we study in this session this morning. Our purpose for being here is to study God's Word, to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. One of the greatest things that you and I can do, perhaps the greatest thing as a believer, is to advance spiritually. And there's no way for us to advance spiritually if we are not desirous of receiving the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we come here. We come here to open our hearts and minds and open the Bible so that we can receive what He has for us. And that's our reason and purpose for being here again today. We have a magnificent passage of Scripture before us. We'll be looking at one particular verse in this first session and then several verses in the next session. We'll spend a little time in review so that we'll know where we've been. I believe it will be helpful to us. So before we begin our study, may we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful for your matchless grace. We're thankful for the privilege of studying your Word. We know that the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. There are so many things for us to learn. So help us to have keen and alert minds, that we'll be able not only to hear with our physical ears, but to hear with our hearts, that we might be able to take the things we learn and make application of these magnificent truths. And we thank you for ever provision, ever blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you go with me, please, to Genesis chapter 15. We'll spend just a few moments in the reading and go down specifically to verse 6. Make a few comments there as we move along. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." And Abram said, "O Lord God, what wilt thou give me, since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Since thou hast given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." Genesis 15, verse 4, "Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, 'This man will not be your heir, but one who shall come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir.' He took him outside and said, 'Now look toward the heavens. Count the stars if you're able to do so.' He said to him, 'So shall your descendants be.' Then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Verse 7, he said to him, I am the Lord you who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess it. He said, O Lord God, how may I know that I shall possess it? So he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer and a 3-year-old female goat and a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two and laid each half opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds. Verse 11, and the birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, and Abram drove them away. That leads us to our verse now. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. Would you allow me for just a few moments to bring you up to date? When you go to verse 6, you'll see that Abram has adjusted to God. Oftentimes people refer to this passage of Scripture as a salvation verse. Basically, it is not an emphasis upon salvation. It's an emphasis upon restoration. He was resting in faith. He was placing his trust and confidence in God. It's a time now for him to express his love and appreciation for God's goodness to him. God had already accepted the confession, so now God is blessing him as he is adjusting and resting in the Lord. When you go to verse 7, you will discover that God made the next move to remind Abram of further blessings which had already been promised. That is the land area in Genesis 15:7. Abram, still not as mature as he should be at this time, wanted a sign. So when you go to Genesis 15:8, you see him reaching out for a sign. What's amazing to me is that God is always patient. I'm glad he's patient with me. I'm glad he's patient with you. God was patient with Abram and had justice toward him. Also, God had some definite lessons which needed to be recorded in the Scripture. And so God was just and fair with him by teaching him some things and having these things recorded so that you and I could read them and see what's going on. What's amazing now is we go to Genesis 15:9. Remember, the offerings that are made were long before the Levitical offerings were established, and long before there were priests and tabernacles. What I'm seeing and what I reminded you of last Wednesday night, that what God calls upon Abram to do now is hard work, getting dirty. And I reminded you last Wednesday night, it was getting bloody. This was a unique offering. There was no altar at that time. So when these animals were slaughtered and cut in pieces and placed on each side for Abram to walk up and down in between those cut up animals, the blood flooded the ground. Pieces of sacrifice were burned. The halves of the animals, 3 large, making 6 halves, were lined across from each other, with the birds at the end, the Scripture says, making a lane for him to walk up and down in the blood. I'm sure you realize that I have a unique and unusual personality. So often when I get into things, I like to know a little bit more than what it just simply says here. And so I read about the 3-year-old heifer. I've heard of heifers, haven't you? I grew up on a farm. I know a little bit about cows. So I need to tell you that a 3-year-old heifer was a young cow. About 1 year before the first baby was born, they were called a heifer. You didn't know that, so you need to be informed today from a country boy letting you know about the heifer. I want you to see that this is a 3-year-old heifer. I notice also that the scripture says that there was required a 3-year-old female goat. A 3-year-old female goat. I looked this up to see what a goat, I thought I knew what a goat looked like. Now I'm not going to remind you of what a goat looks like or what a goat can do and cannot do. I'm sure that many of you already know about goats. The horns of a goat are unusual. Perhaps you've noticed. If you've been around a goat, perhaps you've been bucked by a goat, a 3-year-old female goat. I also read it says that there was a 3-year-old ram. What is a 3-year-old ram? Well, I found out that this is a male sheep. Now, I know that you wanted to know this information, so I took time out to prepare it for you. A 3-year-old ram. Last Wednesday night, I wanted you to see that the 3-year-old heifer didn't just run up and say, "Cut my throat, slaughter me, I want to be killed." A 3-year-old female goat didn't just run up and say, "Here I am, I surrender all, I surrender, cut my throat, I'm ready to be slaughtered and I'm ready for the blood to flow." A 3-year-old ram, a male sheep, didn't just run up and say, "Here I am, cut my throat, let's let the blood flow." And then I came to that word, turtle dove. And I thought, I've heard about doves, but what is a turtle dove? Now, I'm not going to come and sit by your side and ask you what a turtle dove is, because I've already done some research. And I can tell you this morning what a turtle dove is. A small, slender animal having white-edged tail and soft, purring voice. Aren't you excited that I gave you that information? Black plus chestnut upper parts. A pink breast. Black and white neck. And then it says, it's in the family of the pigeons, a turtle dove. And then the next says, and a pigeon. This is an unusual altar. And I don't want to spend any more time here other than to remind you that here we discover that God has Abram walking in the midst of blood, bogging around in this blood. As Abram walks back and forth, he's learning more and more what God's plan is for his life. No matter how you walk in life, you must be aware of the fact that you're in the midst of learning. In the prosperous days of life, in the days of adversity, you're in the midst of learning. Bogging around in this blood, I ask myself a question, what is he learning here? And then I said, what a way to learn. What a way to learn. Bogging around in blood, in between animals that have been cut in two with their bodies placed on each side. I don't know exactly how this is, but I take it that the bodies of these animals were cut in two and the entrails were placed upward. Some say they were placed down. I don't know. But I do know that blood flowed. And the blood flowed in that little lane in which Abram is walking. And he's walking and learning. He's learning more about salvation. He's learning more about restoration. He's learning more about resting in faith. He's learning more about having a relaxed attitude. An unmistakable time of learning. And let me tell you, wherever you are today, in whatever circumstances you find yourself, it's a time of unmistakable learning. What a way to get biblical information. Blood. The Lord then allowed birds to come and attack these carcasses. Perhaps that represents worry. Abram begins being, of course, very tired to shoo away the vultures, to shoo away the birds. The thing that made it possible for him to be able to shoo away these animals was what he had in his soul. And I remind you today that the only way that worry and fear and consternation, anxiety can be shooed away is for there to be truth in your soul and mine. So now I'm ready to look at verse 7. He said unto him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess it. He said, O Lord God, how may I know that I shall possess it? So he said unto him, bring me this 3-year-old heifer, and bring me this 3-year-old female goat, and bring me this 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and young pigeon. What did he do? He responded. He brought all these to him and cut them in two, lay each half opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds. And the birds of prey came down upon the carcasses, and Abram drove them away. I want to stop you for a few moments and give you some terminology. The first terminology is animal sacrifices. What does that mean? Animal sacrifices was the way God taught in the Old Testament. God taught salvation by way of animal sacrifices. God taught restoration to fellowship by animal sacrifices. God taught resting in faith by animal sacrifices. God taught God's justice by way of animal sacrifices. The fairness of God, which gives Him perfect freedom to either bless or discipline us, is taught in the Old Testament sacrifices. Let me give you another term. I don't know whether you want to hear this or not. It's the term worry. What is worry? A mental attitude sin, which shows a person is overly concerned about what's going to happen rather than who's handling the problem. Now, sometimes when I'm using terminology and I'm trying to send you out some words that have meaning, I wonder if you're really receiving it. Worry is a mental attitude sin which shows that a person is overly concerned about what's going to happen or what is happening rather than handing the problem over to the one who knows how to handle the problem. Let's see where we've been for a few moments. We see that Abram had to adjust to God. We see that God further reassured Abram of the land promise. God gave Abram instructions on making this unique sacrifice. The animals that were used taught Abram biblical truths about God's justice. In the midst of all this, God was teaching Abram something about Jesus Christ being judged for our sins. So Abram had to adjust to God's justice when he was restored to a right relationship with the Lord. God sent these birds out there to bother the carcasses and let Abram shoo them away. Could I remind you that Abram is tired? He's been through a lot all day. Now, to wave and shoo those vultures away, he had to depend upon some internal strength. And that makes me want to stop for a moment and talk to you. When I came to this point in my study, I put down a little note that says, apply this to our day. Apply this to our day. So let me give you these 6 points. Believers every day make decisions to either adjust or not adjust to God's plan. No one can do this for you but you. Your husband cannot do it for you. Your wife cannot do it for you. Your children cannot do it for you. Your parents will not be able to do it for you. It's individual. So every day that you and I live, we have to make decisions to adjust to God's plan. The second thing that I see here is God is patient and fair to us to provide for us the thinking that we need so that we can think the way He thinks. God provides thinking. The third thing that I see is just as Abram made a decision to obey God's truths and instructions, we decide each day whether we're going to obey God or not. Now, some of you are saying, this is so simple. It is. And yet it is so profound. Now, after all those first 3 points, I'm going to get down to where you live and I live. First of all, I need to tell you on point 4 that we all have sinful natures. Not something you already know this. In your old sinful nature, you have strengths and weaknesses. I don't know how long you've been studying God's Word, and I don't know where you are as you are able to see into your own soul and check out your own strengths and weaknesses of the sinful nature. But what I'm able to see and I want to share with you, even though we have weaknesses in our sinful nature, God has provided a cure for these areas of weakness in our life. For you, it may be worry. It may be fear. It may be lust. Whatever it is, I'm just naming a few to remind you that in each individual's life, there are strengths and there are weaknesses. But whatever that weakness is, God has already provided a cure for this area in each person's life. In our specific area of weakness, tests will come to bug us. Tests will come to bug us. What I'm telling you is, and I can get down where some of you live, is if lust is your weakness, you're going to be bugged over and over again in that area. If worry is your weakness in your old sinful nature, you're going to be bugged over and over again in that area. But what I'm saying to you is that we do have from God the means for victory over our individual personal weakness, whatever that weakness is. If it is worry, worry will cause us to be maladjusted in life to God's justice. And the Scripture says in Proverbs 4:2, "For I will give you good doctrine, forsake you not my law." That's Proverbs 4:2. Now, we go to our verse 12. Now, when the sun was going down, some of you like sunrises, some of you like sunsets. There have been many times when we've come to this church and we've driven down the street that's in front of our church and we face the setting of the sun. Oftentimes, the sun is behind clouds that gives out beautiful, magnificent colors. It says here, when the sun was going down, I see something else taking place. This is where I wanted to be for a few minutes with you today. A deep sleep comes upon Abram. Let's talk a little bit about your sleep. Some of you sleep very well. Some of you don't sleep very well. Some of you have to get up several times during the night. Some of you go to bed at night and you sleep 6, 7, 8 hours, uninterrupted sleep. Now, I'm not quizzing you today. I'm not asking for any testimonies. I'm just trying to remind you to see where you are in your sleep compared to what I'm seeing here. The sun was going down. A deep sleep fell upon Abram. Is it peaceful? Is it pleasant? It says next, terror and great darkness fell upon him. Terror and great darkness fell upon him. When I look at verse 12, I have to see something. And I want you to see it with me. God's viewpoint. God's eye. I'm sure you're aware of the fact that that's an anthropomorphism, which means that God doesn't have an eye. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. But we're putting this in human terminology. God's eye view of the situation. God's eye view of history. In the light of what I'm saying, I want you to see that for your life and mine, there's an overview. There's God's eye view of you as an individual. Abram has just heard a lot of information, biblical information. He's very tired, having slain all these animals. He's tired from driving away all of those vultures, those birds. He's tired mentally. He's tired physically. And now the scripture says he falls into a deep, deep sleep. I just want to stop here and say, Abram, enjoy your sleep, please. Please, Abram. You're tired. You're tired physically. You're tired mentally. Please get some rest. Isn't that the way you feel sometimes when you're trying to get a good night's rest? Abram, you're tired. You're so tired. You've been shooing away these birds. You've been shooing away these vultures. It's in essence saying, only God's word inside of me can drive away the worries. I don't need anything else to bother me. And then the scripture says, terror comes. Let me tell you something. This is not a dream. This is a nightmare. The nightmare is going to teach him what would happen. Listen carefully. This nightmare would teach him what will happen to his great, 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 great grandchildren. Are you beginning to see something? God is letting him begin to see some things for the next 600, 700 years. This dream nightmare happened before Abram had any children. This would show Abram a view of history, a view of reality, a view of God's plan for mankind. This historical reality and factual information would become more real to him than him not having a son. Think about it. If you're listening, you're going to be able to see that we all have our little problems, our little frustrations, our little perplexities in life. But when we begin to see from God's vantage point, those things become rather insignificant. What I'm trying to get over to you is, let's begin to see, because of the truth in our souls, how God sees history, how God sees His plan for us as an individual. Abram would see that when he correctly interprets history, he doesn't have any reason for worry. That came so easy for me, and I'm able to give it to you so fast you don't even get it. Did you notice what I said? Abram is going to come to a point that he is going to correctly interpret history. And when he does, there is no reason for frustration, complexity, frustration, consternation, or worry. What a way to see life. All right. Let's take a look now for a few moments at Abram's seed. Right now you know that it's not Abraham, it's Abram. And you know right now that he doesn't have a child from his own loins. We all know that, don't we? So we're in the process of seeing from God's viewpoint, God's eye view of history and the future. So stay with me. Let's take a look for a few moments at how God takes Abram's seed and relates Abram's seed to prophecy. Right now, as far as Abram's concerned, he doesn't have any seed. But let me show you. Abram, Isaac, Jacob. Do those names mean anything to you? The name Jacob was changed to Israel. Does that mean anything to you? There was a wrestling match we'll find over in Genesis chapter 32. And in the process of that time, we discover that the name Jacob is changed to Israel. Oh, are you able to see it? Are you able to see the timeline? Are you able to see eternal ages past, eternal ages future, the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel? Are you able to see it? We discovered when we came to the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, there's the beginning of the age of Israel. Abram, Isaac, Jacob, the name changed to Israel. Let me throw some other names on you. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin. Have you ever heard those names? Joseph. Have you ever heard that name? Joseph, sold as a slave, became a prime minister, and brought his entire family to the foreign land, including his father, Jacob. 75 people in all, family. The first 30 years these Israelites were in Egypt, they prospered according to Exodus 12:41. 1841 B.C., a Pharaoh came on the scene who did not know Joseph, the scripture says. Put them in slavery, where they remained for 400 years. If you're following me, you're able to see God's eye view of history. We discovered that this group started out small. But when you get over to the book of Exodus, you'll discover that now there are approximately 2 million people. Oh my. We've got to see what God is doing. You know what this says to me? God knows what He's doing. Do you think He does? Do you think that He's concerned for you as an individual? If the answer to that is yes, do you think God knows what He's doing in your life? Do you think that God has a plan and a purpose for your life? If God can look down here and we can see it now, how He's taking this guy throughout his times of strengths and weaknesses of his old sinful nature to the point where he cries out and says, I still don't have a baby. When God's in charge. Well, I think what we need to do is to have a relationship with this handmaid and get a baby. Got a baby. Wrong kind of baby. Oh, I guess Eliezer must be the one who's going to be the leader. God knows what He's doing because of who God is. Because of who God is. I believe sometimes we don't have the right conclusion about who God is. I don't believe that we believe that God is who He is. Do you follow what I'm saying? Who is God? Sovereign, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability, and veracity. And all of those things are so fantastic because they match every person of the Trinity, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Heavenly Father. I believe we could go away from this place more satisfied when we come to view God as He really is. Darkness, nightmare, terror. Abram's in the midst of this now, folks. This is a nightmare. I want to get into this nightmare with you, and we're going to in the next session. But I want you to see something. Life for Abram now is terror. Life for Abram now in this darkness is awful. God spoke to Abram in darkness and says, your seed will be a stranger, sojourner in a land that is not theirs, Egypt. And they, the Egyptian pharaohs, shall afflict you 400 years. Darkness represents slavery. And God is moving into Abram's life now in this nightmare to prepare him a little bit more for the future. You know what God is doing for you? He's putting together things for His glory and for your good every day. And we're to accept it and know that God is good. We're going to get into the nightmare in just a little while. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank You today for Your grace. Grace in salvation. We realize that You have a way of dealing with us. And Your way is always right and best and safe for us. For those who hear this message who've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, perhaps don't even realize how important it is to be born into your kingdom. May the Spirit of God deal with them now, and may they realize that the greatest decision they could ever make in life is to trust you, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Knowing that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, may they express their faith and trust and confidence in you now. Because we know that the Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Thank you for that wonderful promise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.